everybody. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kyle. And Kim, I'm not asking you to lick my ass or anything. This is like some basic respect over here.
The train has left the station and we both got off. No, never say that again, Clayton. Also, no more tail wagging. No more tail wagging.
Absolutely no more. 0% of that.
Officially an anti-tail wagging podcast right here, right now.
Yep.
Oh, wow. This is a great episode.
Good episode. Right up front, if you hear a slight echo, I apologize. I am not in my normal recording space. Looking to get electricians out here to fix my shit up soon. So doing my best over here.
Sounds pretty good, actually. Doesn't sound bad.
Right.
What was worse? Ashley and Manuel in the like fucking sounds from the public bathroom. So basically I didn't fuck for my whole 20s.
The opposite of Kim energy.
Or Nikki trying to like talk to this nail tech.
With this bizarre like Eastern Euro vocal affect.
Why is she talking? She's talking like this to everyone in Moldova.
Sounds like a bad Polish father. It's like my Polish father-in-law accent. And it reminded me of Sarah from Love After Lockup, who took on like an affect of like she was speaking like an African-American whenever she talked to her. To anyone in her life that wasn't white. And when she was white, it's just so funny.
That was so cringy.
It's just like, it's hilarious that her brain has tricked her into thinking that this poor nail technician will understand her better if she talking like this, like like almost like fucking Italian.
She's like, you know, he's strong. He's strong.
I speak like caveman and maybe stupid potato people understand better.
He only fuck me 3 times a week. Used to be 3 times a day. You understand?
Like, other man, Moldova, giant pussy man? No.
I love the conclusion to that conversation was, you should go find an American guy.
Yeah.
The alien music is back. I could not be happier.
Someone was walking on my roof and then there were patches on the ground. It smelled kind of like dog piss, but it's totally a Bigfoot.
We just need more of Father Sam talking about Bigfoot, aliens. This is the content I want. It hurts no one. It's not problematic. I don't feel sad about it. You know, I want more of this, like a lot more.
I'm an atheist, but the Terminator totally came from the future and walked on my roof last night. I don't believe stupid bullshit.
When was the last time you called your sister and asked her to source a llama or a goat and a furry, the guinea pig kind?
If that ever happens, I will be immediately put into a memory care facility because so something is broken. The dam is broken at that point. Does she have some kind of connection to llama facilities, or is this just I am completely incompetent at life, and my sister is someone that can get things done? So. Help. What the fuck is happening?
I think the latter. She needs to reach out to Miss Debbie. Miss Debbie is dialed in on the dressing up of
no
llamas.
Kidding.
We know that from Single Life. If you don't watch, you should be.
She's happy to give tours.
Yeah, for $60. And, you know, I I don't know how much it would be to borrow a llama for an event, you know, taken off that out of the facility. But this just seems. What do you? I don't think it's livestock should really be at a wedding. I don't
it
know.
It just doesn't. It's just. I guess my question is. Is the presence of livestock common at Peruvian weddings, or is it just you're just adding Peru stuff?
Yeah,
it sounds like where are they? Like, you want guinea pigs? Where are they going to go? Just going to put? Is the table setting for all the tables just going to be a guinea pig in a cage looking at you eat?
They want a costume for a man, like. To be wearing a guinea pig costume. That's what made it so hilarious.
I totally missed that. That's way weirder somehow.
His sister was like, how do you expect me to find a costume for a man to like be dressed up as a guinea pig?
You know, my tinfoil continues to build momentum.
It does. It does.
Annalie knows that Clayton is a particular type of person that knows how to get a man-sized costume of a guinea pig. And but I wonder why he would know that, Kim.
Then why does he ask his sister to do it?
It's a big tent in the furry community, okay?
I love the sister. It's just like, yeah, no, I'm not doing
go
this
fuck yourself
while you're on vacation in San Diego.
It's hilarious how bold he got after he got his dick wet 10 minutes later.
Oh my god. He really
he's did. He's telling females what to do.
Yeah. What happened though with Annalie and Clayton? Like all
Jesus
of a sudden
Christ.
She's like leaning her chin on his shoulder and talking about kicking mom out of the closet. She wants to bang more. She loves it. I'm like, what happened?
This has happened far too many times on this season. It really is bothersome to me because the people on this season, I'm talking about Rob, both Gino and Jasmine, Clayton, Manuel, although we at least have an explanation for how they make up so quickly. These people suffer no consequences for their horrific behavior because every single storyline has to be a roller coaster now. I'm kind of shocked. Like, usually on these shows, we have a bit of a season arc. Right. For Ashley Emmanuel, it's kind of sending money home. But everyone else is just this crazy, like, boom and bust cycle every episode where these people are behaving like absolute fucking maniacs. And then the next episode, everything's fine and dandy. And it just makes me feel like. It makes me feel like there's fuckery. Either these fights are reenactments or they're like. Way played up for the camera because no rational human being would get as angry as all these people, particularly like Sophie, I think is the worst offender.
Yeah.
Nobody. Like, I guarantee fucking to you next episode, they're going to make up and be lovey-dovey and happy again.
Oh, and they will. But I do believe that they're fighting all the time.
I do too, but I just don't believe that it's as serious as they make it out to be on the show. And Gino and Jasmine are the poster childs for this.
Yeah, but Sophie and Rob just strike me as the kind of people that just fight constantly because they're bored. Like, they don't have jobs. They're like, that's literally all they have to do all day. I guess Gino doesn't have a job either.
I guess that's fair. I've never been in a relationship like that where it's just fight, 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 sex, sex, fight, fuck.
Or
I just
you're
could
together
never deal
all
with
the
that.
Time either. Like, you know, you're doing stuff all day. Like, we're busy.
Maybe this is normal to some people. I don't know.
I think it is, unfortunately.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Well, let's talk about Clayton. Let's talk about some guinea pigs and some llamas and some goats. Maybe I could talk her into a goat instead of a llama. I'm like, I don't think it's the same, bro. I don't think it's gonna do.
Is a goat that much cheaper than a llama?
I love that. That's the assumption. Like, I could afford a goat, but a llama? No.
And well, you know, I mean, look, Clayton probably knows more about this than I do, to be fair. But that just struck me as if you're gonna transport a bunch of fucking farm animals to your wedding, I don't feel like a llama is gonna necessarily get top dollar compared to a goat.
I love that, like, Annalie discusses also that she wants to dress the llama up in, like, colorful scarves. And I just don't think that that quite has the same effect, like, on a goat.
Again, are there llamas at Peruvian weddings, or are there just lots of llamas in Peru?
I think there's just lots of llamas in Peru.
Okay, so why can't you just decorate, have a dance troupe, and then have Peruvian food?
I don't know, dude. Annalie says this with a fucking straight face, too. Like, she's so dead serious. She does not find this ironic at all.
I don't want to be smelling fucking barn animals at my wedding, dude.
They already live in a barn, basically. What's the difference?
And I don't want to, like, interact with a furry man.
I just love that Brandy is their wedding planner, and they call her up like, yo, I need a person in a guinea pig costume and a live llama. Okay, sis, good luck. Get going on that.
Are you on ketamine right now? What the fuck are you talking about? Did she finally snap and hit you with a baseball bat?
I love the sisters just like, yeah, no. I'm not doing that. I agreed to organize the bachelorette party, which Annalie also says she deserves.
Yeah, and she deserves strippers. And Clayton's going to be super, super happy about that. As an incel, Clayton will be super happy about that.
I have in my notes, is Annalie a weirdo? Why does she want a llama? Llama is not in the budget, Annalie. You get a goat. So good.
You don't understand me, Clayton. You don't understand. And then she never explains anything about why she's been hesitant to do this before now. Nothing. We still have no idea why she waited as long as she did. And we have really no fucking idea why she changed her mind. Clayton doesn't say anything new. He doesn't make any kind of profound argument that he hasn't made before. Apparently, he's brought this up so many times it's triggering for her, which, like, okay, fine. But she never says the actual reason. He says the same thing he always says. And then, okay, I'm going to make a social media post, and I'm going to tell my dad, and, like, everything's great, and now we can fuck. What the fuck is this storyline?
Kyle, I hate that Annalie is making me be Team Clayton on this. Like, he's not asking her, like, him pestering her for sex is, like, just disgusting and gross. But him pestering her about, like, dude, we're going to get married in 3 weeks, and you haven't told your dad that you're going to get married. Like, that's just, like, not, I'm not okay with that. That is totally reasonable. As we say every week.
It would be one thing if she's like, I can't tell my dad because he is the prime minister of of Peru, and it would be a political scandal. Like, I don't know, like anything, any reason at all. And for her to get so butthurt about him asking about that just shows that she's very childish.
He's awful too. She's at her limit,
but
obviously, but she's like, I feel misunderstood. You don't respect my decisions.
Okay. So
I'm like, what? Why is this your decision, though? You didn't explain.
How is he supposed to like it? I understand if you say, listen, I can't talk about this. Please respect that I'm never going to, like, if she said, please respect, I would never tell my father ever. Then right. The ball's then kind of back in his court, whether to even marry her at all. But it's always just been like punting with no explanation. It's really annoying. Still it is have annoying. No idea.
We still don't know why. And did she even tell him? We see her post this really nice picture with a really nice caption of her and Clayton, but she still doesn't call her father. It's like this was kind of the consolation prize was Clayton's like, okay, if you're not going to call your dad and tell him, can you at least post something on social media? And she's like, yeah, I can do that.
I kind of was thinking, the same thing, like, okay, is that really telling her dad? But I also kind of wondered if that was de facto telling her dad because she knows word will get to him now.
I guess, but they're getting married.
Yeah.
They are getting married. Like, can you imagine not telling your parents that you were marrying someone? It is a really big deal.
It's really strange because you completely, if you don't jettison it entirely, you're going to make the first couple years of your marriage like really awkward with the in-laws, and maybe they'll never forget that. And if they think that Annalie is their precious, precious little flower, they're never going to believe that this wasn't Clayton's idea.
Yeah, dude, you got to tell, unless you're like if she were estranged from her father,
I would get it.
Or like, she didn't have a relationship with her father. She hates her father. Something happened there in the past and was dark. Okay, that's cool. But she says like she's super close with her dad. And so it's just like, that's just offensive. If you don't want to tell your family member that you're getting married, it's a huge red flag.
What is so wrong with me that you won't tell him? If the answer is it has nothing to do with you, that's just not satisfactory if we're getting married.
No, it's not. And I mean, Clayton almost has to guilt trip her into posting on social by saying, like, I dated somebody in the past who didn't want to post about me on social because they were embarrassed of me and then they cheated on me. And I was like, this sucks, like, Clayton, that, you know, this happened. But
Clayton just seems like the type of guy that takes the wrong lessons from every bad thing that ever happens to him.
Yeah. So I guess they go and bang, though.
Yeah.
The train pulled into the station, choo-choo, and we both got off, unless she was faking it. Kyle, have you ever made a stuffed animal?
Let me show you how happy I am.
He's wagging his tail, jumping on the bed. I don't want to have sex for a month now, watching that.
Right. Let me do all of the things that decrease the chances of getting laid again.
I cannot unsee it. I'm so upset. Still upset.
It's terrible.
Have you ever made a stuffed animal tell your wife about how good your orgasm was?
Fuck. Only one made of guinea pig. And what I mean, a guinea pig stuffed animal made of actual guinea pig.
All right, we've got to move on, because if I talk about the sex stuff for much longer, like, trains are ruined. Trains are ruined. Between the choo-choo
Why are there so many trains involved with Peruvian people on this show?
Seriously, because it was Magogany, right, that had the train poetry aimed at her direction. But stop involving these Peruvian women in train storylines. Stop it. It's never good. I
being
love
assaulted
train poetry.
With trains.
All right. So Annalie wants to move to San Diego. Of course she does. Yeah. Everybody wants to live in San Diego, Annalie. It's like a perfect place. So welcome to millions of other people.
I would live in San Diego in 1 second.
Me too.
The traffic is a fucking nightmare. But yeah.
You work in biotech. I guess
it's all kind of one area if you're in biotech, but yeah.
This is when they call Brandy. I love Brandy's face. It's just like, no.
Disgust. Yeah.
I just don't like, why can't Clayton source the llama? He's playing video games for like 40 hours a week.
But I have to get to level 770. Shut up.
You're already the best player in the world of that particular game, if the rumors are true. So take a few minutes or give mom a job. She's just sitting in that closet all day. Have her source the llama.
All right. You want to talk about?
No, one more thing.
Brandy
hangs up on Clayton and won't pick up when he calls her back like 3 times.
No, that's the right way. If you hang up on someone and then pick up 5 seconds later, you're not really fully committing to the fuck you.
It's so funny for some reason. I just love it. Oh, man. Okay. Now we can move on. Okay, Kyle, let's talk about Lomi. We've had our Lomis for, I think, a year now, right?
Yeah, about a year. I can't remember what it was like to throw all that food in the trash. I have my trash can in the garage, and it's not an issue at all anymore.
Yeah, I know, me neither. And like the new year, it's a good time to start new habits. And you're all probably wondering what a Lomi is. It's a smart and simple solution to turn food scraps into plant food in just 4 hours. So Lomi transforms almost anything you eat into nutrient-rich plant food at the push of a button.
My wife and I absolutely hate throwing away food. It smells and it just feels kind of wrong, you know? It fills up your trash super fast. You don't even notice until you start using the Lomi to make plant food.
Yeah. You know, if you've always wanted to start composting but didn't want to invest in like worms and some like weird smelly thing in your backyard, like I'm with you. A Lomi device is about the size of a crock pot. It does not smell. I have mine sitting on my kitchen counter. Kyle, I think you have yours in like your mudroom or your garage.
Yeah, I have it just outside my mudroom in the garage. And I can also vouch for the fact that it doesn't smell at all. It certainly doesn't smell as bad as Polish father-in-law's food. I have friends with composting stuff out in their yard, and the smell when you walk by it can totally be offensive.
Yeah, like all my food scraps and my plant clippings and even leftovers from like the deep, dark back of my fridge, they all go into the Lomi, and then I distribute the dirt it produces to my house plants and then my garden in the spring when I have a garden outside.
You want to know how amazing Lomi is? You can just take Polish father-in-law's mush and dump it right in the Lomi, and you have a net reduction in stench. Like, that's just magical.
Yeah, I'm not eating that mush, so if it were in my house, it'd go straight in there. Whether you want to start making a positive environmental impact or just grow a beautiful garden, Lomi is perfect for you. Head to lomi.com/craycray and use promo code craycray to get $50 off your Lomi.
That's $50 off when you head to lomi.com/craycray and use promo code craycray at checkout. Thank you, Lomi, for sponsoring this episode.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Do you want to do Gino Jasmine or Sam and Chitra?
Oh, gosh. Let's do Gino Jasmine so we can end on Sam and Chitra. the best part about Gino and Jasmine is that she justifies Dane giving her the money for the butt by saying it's a wedding gift because Gino will enjoy it equally.
Here you go, bro. Fist bump, Gino.
It's a wedding gift.
Who the fuck?
Gino will enjoy the ass.
I mean, how much money? Okay. Do you think that Dane is worth just millions of dollars?
No.
Who gives a $2,000 wedding gift generally? Forget that it's for butt implants for your ex-girlfriend, but just if they were just good college buddies, and let's say that Dane was even a woman, so there's like no weird, you know, history or impropriety, $2,000 in cash wedding gift? Like, if you're not blood related, that's insanity.
It is. Maybe he is super loaded, or maybe he just like really likes Jasmine, or maybe she made it up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's what happened, if this is even real.
She explains the economics finally in the buying a butt confession. Remember when Larissa said to Fernanda, go buy a butt? This is literally what Jasmine did.
Apparently, it's hard to source the cash to buy a butt. You know, she's got investors from Chile involved. She's got Gino's money. She's got a stockbroker that's on the case, looking in the couch for cash, hitting up ex-boyfriends.
So the surgery was $10,000. She has $4,000 from Gino for the wedding dress. I still do not believe that this man, who is so cheap,
wild,
gave her $4,000 for a wedding dress. Crazy. Then she somehow had her own $4,000, which be Matt Sharp money. Then she was still $2,000 short, and that's what Dane gave to her.
Try and buy a butt.
She did buy a butt. She was successful in buying the butt. The butt
She's
does
the
look
only
good.
Person except Nikki that we know that bought a butt.
It was supposed to be a loan. Alone. But Dan said, nah.
Right.
Gino's going to enjoy that ass. It's a wedding gift.
Something about a loan to buy a butt would feel actually kind of shadier.
It does.
Because then effectively Gino would have to pay the loan back for the butt.
That's true. Yeah. Because she doesn't make money.
What
would
be fucking hilarious if she was like, yeah, so I borrowed $2,000 from Dana. You have to pay it back.
What? It's a hard money loan. So the interest rate's like 22%.
Oh, yeah. He's got a guy in Michigan that's going to break your kneecaps, Gino.
All right. So let's go back. Do you feel like they're trying to give Gino and Jasmine kind of a comeback story, though? Because it's all like, quite literally and figuratively, like rose petals and lovey-dovey, I don't know, talk, and it's weird.
It's just part of the same cycle that has happened 7 or 8 times this season alone. Because they've been happy for 2 episodes, which is a new record. That's crazy. Maybe like 2.5 episodes they've been happy. Which I can't even wrap my head around it. So, you know, he does a sweet romantic dinner by the hotel pool. Gets her some rose petal trail out there, reproposes, and then she's like, oh my God, Gino, you know, I never thought I'd marry someone so fucking hideous, but you're just the best.
That guy, Dane, who bought me my ass, is my type.
Yeah. I usually like guys that look exactly like my last ex-boyfriend with huge fucking hogs. And I just never thought I'd end up with, you know, you.
Why are we continuing to allow the defiling of public places with rose petals on this show?
I assume that he just coordinated with the hotel to kind of like lock it off for filming. This is pseudo public. This is a hotel common area, but I know what you mean.
He did hide a very expensive piece of jewelry in a
plant. Yeah.
I was like, what's he doing? Oh, it's a bag. Like, why do you still have it in the bag?
Why did you put a bag in a bush instead of just putting the ring box in your pocket? No,
that's what thank you.
Yes. What's happening?
It's so fun. Every time I see rose petals on this show on the floor, I think about Tania and Sinjin.
Yeah, boss says it's no good.
Boss say no good. I just feel like Gino's done this 180 where now he's complimenting Jasmine all the time. Like, oh, look at you in that dress and look at your boobs and you look so hot. And, you know, he's being like nice and I seems just don't like buy it.
I think he actually likes her. I don't think that he intentionally doesn't compliment her. If that makes sense. Like, I think he's just real dumb. But now that, I mean, I honestly think that him being around her and being around a woman generally, she is training him a bit.
Okay.
And she's telling him what she likes and he's doing it because that means less fights. He's not the dumbest person. He knows what he has to do. Roughly to avoid fights, he chooses not to do that because he's trying to pretend like he has self-respect.
It's just, which he does. Remember not. The last time he went to Panama. He literally like would not have sex with her for like days, and he was super cold to her, and he was like throwing clothes and like storming off and. I mean, like the whole like first 10 days of his trip was like that. And now he's just loving all over. He's taking her to this nice trip to Miami. I mean, this is a trip. This is Jasmine's dream trip. They stayed in a nice place. He's having nice dinners. They're going shopping. They're going to the beach. She loves this. It's weird. Gino's proposed like 4 times already, but we need another proposal. Yes.
'Cause the last ringy was too cheapy.
He's like, this is a real diamond. I was like, finally.
And I bought it this time instead of letting you take the money since we know what happens when I give you big chunks of cash.
I'm like, why is Gino crying? He's like crying during this proposal. I'm like, why? What is going on? She thinks he's going to break up with her.
All it takes to make Gino have an emotional breakdown is say, I'll try to have the most basic of cordial relations with your family. That's how that's how broken these people are.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the big question. When they're walking back into the hotel, Gino says, I'm gonna bleep your bleep.
Fuck you in the ass.
Bleep your bleep. I'm gonna fuck your ass.
Yeah, fuck your ass. Because the context was around her. Yeah, the context was around her butt, right?
Suck your tits. Shit on your boobs. I like peg your butt.
Yeah, I 6 people in an iguana.
I'm gonna isolate the last 3 minutes of this conversation.
Okay. I just feel like he could have said something way nastier. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, like what?
Like all the things that I just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we talked about buying a butt confession. So obviously this is going to lead to another fight. Oh, and yeah. Gino's like, why were you even talking to Dane? She's like, because he's my friend.
And last she chose to move in like right next to him too.
He's like, well, is this the same guy that you were like screaming at me when I went to Panama that you were like banging him and cheated on me? Yep, that's the guy.
Same guy.
Yeah, same guy. Just checking.
Well, so I mean, I can't think of any skeletons that are left in the closet, right?
No.
So now everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Definitely. She's like, I know I'm a bitch sometimes. He's like, you are a bitch.
You're a horrific devil woman.
All right. Let's finish strong with Sam and Chitra. Thoroughly enjoyed this.
Yeah. A lot of scenes with them. Everyone arrives. Sam starts converting to Muslim.
Not exactly sure. I thought her family was already here. I thought her family had already arrived. I must have seen it in the next time on. Because my first note is like, where is her family? What are they doing all day?
It's so strange to think that her sister in the hijab is going to marry his brother.
Is that the sister? Because there's two sisters.
I'm 95% sure it's the one wearing the head covering.
Okay, because her other sister just looks talking about
her other sister just looks actually kind of quite different than the other two, and I saw the photos of them together. I just don't think that's her.
I see. And you say it's weird that the brother is marrying the sister in hijab because the brother spoke so like
it's more just like dramatic irony because we know that now. And so as we see them interact, we might even get to see the first meeting of these people on camera that end up getting married later.
I see. You're just using that as a descriptor. I thought because you were speaking of how Tim, I think the brother's name is Tim, how he talked about like Sam, it being strange that Sam wanted to, you know, be a man of faith, and he didn't think he really understood what that entails because he's going to have to convert to Muslim too, right?
Correct. Yes, yeah. He will. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
this mosque visit, I guess it went well because they're going to be welcoming, you know, to anyone even remotely interested that's not a complete asshole in the middle of fucking the Ozarks coming in. Yeah, let's talk. What do you know? I know I can't eat bacon and I can't get fucking rip shit anymore. Okay.
Did he know that he can't eat bacon? I mean, because I feel like that came as a surprise.
I think he knew. Maybe he hasn't fully accepted, but I think he knew.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't even know how to respond to assalamu alaikum. He just keeps saying assalamu alaikum. I'm like, it's alaikum salam. Like, I mean, if he watched Rami, he would know. He seems to know literally nothing about Islam. He just says, this is my fiance, her whole family Muslims. So that's, I guess, the real. I was an atheist before. The guy's like, oh, God. Maybe don't say that out loud.
It's better than, I assume that it's kind of all the same whether you're used to be an atheist or used to be a Christian. I mean, you're wrong.
I guess it's true.
Him, you know.
I thought these two guys at the mosque were really gracious to him.
Oh yeah. No, we've never seen anyone in a mosque on any of these shows be nothing but incredibly delightful.
It's so true. I know. It really is. Yeah. They do remind Sam that he still needs to get Chitra's dad's blessing before they can get married. And I was curious, like, why didn't her dad go to the mosque with them?
It just felt like they filmed it. I think that this visit was kind of filmed out of order. I don't necessarily know if it happened in the timeline that they're presenting to us.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, can we go back also to the alien scene? Because Sam's dad is like watering the grass, which just anybody watering their lawn in the Midwest just cracks me up because there's so much moisture. And he's like, yeah, these are alien footsteps. I'm like, it just looks strangely like a spot where a dog continuously pees, but okay.
It's just funny that he thinks just continuously blasting a little patch with more water is going to like magically revive it by itself. This is a man that seems to care about his lawn and just like, he's just standing there with a hose, like absentmindedly just flooding his entire fucking driveway.
I heard something walking on the roof. might be Bigfoot. I'm like, if Bigfoot was walking on your roof, just, I mean, I'm not a structural engineer or anything over here.
Get the fuck out of your house with a shotgun.
I feel like he might crush your roof because that house does not look extremely sturdy. So, you know, depending on how big Bigfoot really is in real life.
And then also, if Bigfoot walked on your lawn, why would it leave a completely rectangular patch of dead grass behind? Wouldn't it just kind of smush it for a couple minutes?
I don't know. Sam even seems to buy into this. He's like, there was something weird on the roof that night.
Yeah, it's called a squirrel. They're way louder than you think when they're on your roof.
Maybe you should have gone outside and like taken a look. What's on my roof? It's probably a raccoon. They're everywhere. It's freaking trash pandas. I was really concerned.
Someone catapulted a javelina on the roof. To fuck with you.
They're like, that guy believes in aliens. But it's the trolling music every time. I just want to hear the dad talk to Chitra's dad about aliens.
Yeah.
For a long time. That would make my day.
Our belief in extraterrestrials, is that mutually exclusive with the Islamic faith?
Yeah, great question. We're going to have to ask a scholar on that one. I do not know. Great, great question for the mosque, though.
Is belief in aliens, you know, heretical?
I don't know. I don't know anything about religions and aliens. I was most concerned this episode with Chitra saying that when they went on dates in Indonesia, she paid for everything.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Did his debit card just not work? I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, he's making up for it, Kyle, because he's taking her on a nice luxury date to Boozers.
Boozers. Basically, under the bleachers.
This is the Cameron, Missouri equivalent to under the bleachers at the NASCAR.
Right.
Except it has fruity drinks with Malibu in it.
If you're going to get someone their first alcoholic beverage, is this the first time that Chitra's ever drank before?
I think so.
It's a good choice to make. You know,
I have you to don't say, wanna,
you don't want to plop down a Miller Lite in front of someone that's never drank before, unless you're trying to discourage them from ever drinking. That's what my dad did.
Yeah, I mean, Malibu just like smells like a hangover to me because I drink so much Malibu in college. Like,
they probably put barely anything in there.
Malibu a lot. Yeah.
That's revolting, Kim.
I'm sorry. It's true. I feel like every really bad hangover I've ever had, like, just smells like Malibu vomit. She's just going to get drunk so fast.
Fuck.
Too much information.
Just please never say Malibu vomit again.
I won't unless you soundbite it, but I don't think that you will.
I will not. I shan't.
Okay. He does seem sad about the pork. I would be sad to not eat bacon. I have to admit, I would be.
Yeah. Yep.
And I mean, alcohol, I don't drink that much as it is. Sam says on many, many occasions, he's like, I mean, I'm not a big drinker. And I'm like, the fact that you've said that like several times makes me think that you are a big drinker.
Well, it's also just the idea of taking something away that you used to be able to do is just generally abhorrent to Americans broadly, right?
Yeah. He even says.
We don't like that in these parts, you know?
Yeah. He says, he's like, it's not that I want to drink. It's that, like, I don't want somebody to tell me not to drink.
Right.
But
Yeah.
Then we have the scene where Sam's dad and Tim, the brother, try to learn one phrase in Indonesian and fail. It does seem very difficult.
It does. And she says it very quickly and she helps them out a little bit, but I would have a lot of trouble saying that with with practice.
Yeah. I would say I'm like decent with languages and I could not repeat what she was saying at all. It's like very difficult.
At least they tried.
Now it was very long. They did try. And Sam's dad and the brother in their like little interview, they just like correctly assess that Sam doesn't know what's involved with following a faith.
Nuh-uh.
And that he's just going to miss pork and like he doesn't really get what he's signing up for, which I totally agree with.
It's interesting that he mentions, does he say this when her dad is around? He mentions at one point that he did find faith. I think he says that to her dad, right?
I think, yeah, to her dad, because I found after that conversation, they're on the way to get the family at the airport, right?
I found that interesting because we kind of had the discussion a couple weeks ago. Like, do you think he's just going to pay it lip service and do the needful for being Muslim? And he's this is a box that he's checking. Is that what this is? Is this what's happening in his head, or is he going to, even though he's extremely lazy, ultimately will he take it seriously? And I still don't know what the answer to that is, but he is telling her dad that he's taking it very seriously, which I guess is the smart thing to do. But
he does say, I'm bullshitting her dad a little bit. I mean, he says he would like die to give her a good life. I'm like, really? Because you didn't even clean out your car when she showed up. So
he's saying that with a ball sack full of jizz. To be fair.
He's so horny. There's no way these two aren't banging already. I
believe that he would kill a man to put it in right now.
I do think it's lip service. If he was taking it seriously, he would have at least looked up like some bullet points about Islam.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
And he hasn't. Yeah. So I don't know. My favorite part was this outside of the alien stuff was the sister car commentary where she's like, this city sucks. Oh, yeah. And I took a laxative on the flight. So now I'm bloated.
Now I'm shitting my brains out. This farm, is this the city? What the fuck is this? He's like, we're in the middle of goddamn nowhere. Like, this is a farm.
It was so funny. He says, like, he's scared of her sisters, that they're just like bullies and they make fun of him and call him, what do they say, Popeye? I guess because he has a little head. I don't know. But he's basically scared of her sisters.
I do enjoy that they think all American men are just like super hot, celeb looking guys, you know, except for Sam, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I told my sisters he looked like Ryan Gosling.
No. Nah.
Maybe you set the expectations a little lower next time. You're all like, that's... I also, Chitra hands the sister flowers in the airport and says, Sam got these for you. Like, it's pretty obvious that you got them because Sam didn't even get you flowers when he went to pick you up, I don't think. Oh god, it's good stuff. What the hell are they gonna do in Missouri?
Stay in the hotel room, I think. Her father, as we predicted from episode fucking one, just seems like a lovely guy.
He's great.
Nothing
so
weird
nice.
At all. Nothing bizarre. Typical, just kind of giving the daughter away vibe to him. But, you know, that's to be expected.
These fathers are all full of shit. They come in hot. They're like, oh, they like talk a big game. Like, I'm not going to let my daughter marry this piece of shit. And then they meet. And within 3 seconds, they're like, yeah, you could just take her off my hands. It's fine.
Look, angry dad making an impression vibes cuts across all cultures, Kim.
Yeah, but they're all talk. Like
I'm sure that the American dad, if they were going the other way, the American dads would be the exact same way. And it's almost always all talk unless you genuinely believe that someone is a serious, if you have really, really strong suspicions that someone is just literally a bad person or is never going to get a job. Like, I would be fascinated to see Sophie's dad meet Rob if he was in the picture.
Yeah. Sam does say something that worried me a little bit this episode, which was, you've got to explain to your dad about the arrest and the drug thing. Like, it was that, and now we have new information that, okay, he had Suboxone. What we thought was that he had Suboxone and it just wasn't in the properly labeled container. Now he says it was like an expired prescription or an old prescription and he hadn't seen his doctor in a while. And I'm like, okay, you can't just like hang on to controlled substances like that. I don't know. I found that like a little bit worrisome.
Well, it's the same vein of just general irresponsibility and being a dumb as not filing for whatever it was called.
Yeah. The diversion.
Depression. The divert. Yeah.
All right. So wrapping up, we got a good next time on. We see Sophie. I thought this next time on was pretty extensive. We see Sophie's mom wants her to be more furious. And then Rob just complaining more.
Yes. Get madder. Go to an Airbnb and stay there more than 24 hours.
Sophie, you need to get way more mad. Nikki and Igor are still somehow together and going horseback riding. Why?
I think her ass is going to fall out.
He thinks that this is like romantic. Oh, because it's a fairy tale, except he doesn't like me. Manuel and Ashley are at Niagara Falls. And I kind of agree with Emmanuel here. He's like, I just don't want to succumb to this culture of spend.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm like, yeah, I get it. That is.
I mean, especially when he's not making money.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even really understand the income to expense ratios that Americans juggle every day, right?
I know. Yeah. Chitra's family meets Sam's family. This is going to be of specific interest to us because we're spoiled on the fact that Sam's brother is now engaged or married to Chitra's sister. And so we get to see them meet for the first time. Should be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want the dad to talk about aliens the entire time during this meeting.
Yeah.
Please, God.
God, fuck.
Then we see kind of like
I want to hear specific aliens. Where do they come from? What do they do?
Yeah. Why are they walking on your roof?
What have they done to you, sir?
They peed in his yard.
What do they want from your bum hole?
Clayton's mom complains that Annalie doesn't speak English.
What a bitch.
Ugh.
How dare you fly directly from Peru and don't speak English?
There's got to be like conversation about mom moving out of the closet, right?
What have you been doing really the last 59 days? You haven't even been fucking. Why can't you learn English?
She's been giving those guinea pigs a bath, you know? It's hard. Also, you remember when, like, Larissa moved in with Colt? And, like, the main storyline for three seasons was, I live with my mother, Debbie, and they fought and fought and fought and fought. And they had, like, three times as much room as Clayton and Annalie.
Yeah.
So I'm just surprised this isn't more of a dramatic theme.
It seems like that drama is going to start to ratchet up because it seems like mom's going to start showing some true colors here.
Yeah, Clayton is like, ugh. And then I guess you know, Gino and Jasmine fight again. She's got a knife. She could be cutting carrots or maybe trying to kill Gino. We're not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of knives, covering Natalia Speaks on our D-Sides podcast, season two. We're going to drop that in a couple days on D-Sides.
So excited. And on Tuesday's premium podcast episode, we'll be covering Single Life, 90 Day Diaries, which unpopular opinion, I really like. And we're also going to be taking a look at this new Matt Sharp show on Lifetime called Prison Brides.
If you're not a subscriber, head to realitycraycray.com. $5 gets your subscription. You can start listening instantly. Want to thank our sponsors, Lomi, for sponsoring this episode. Turn your food into plant food at the press of a button with Lomi. Use code CRAYCRAY to save $50 at lomi.com/CRAYCRAY. Otherwise, we will be back next Monday with episode 14.
Woohoo! Thanks for listening, guys. This was fun. Great episode. We'll see you next week.
Talk to you soon.
Boy, thanks for listening to 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at 90 Day Fiancé Cray Cray. Join our community of Cray Crays by subscribing to our premium podcast feed for $5 either on Supercast or Patreon by visiting realitycraycray.com. Benefits include 3 times the podcast content you get now, ad-free, covering all other 90 Day Fiancé content, and our listener-requested favorite shows outside 90 Day. Access to our members-only Facebook group with thousands of 90 Day fanatics, our podcast archives with over 600 episodes, all ad-free, and you can listen to all of that on your favorite podcast player. With an optional subscription add-on, you also get access to our long-form documentary podcast, D-Sides, where we cover the latest streaming documentaries. You're almost there, lazy. Go to realitycraycray.com and sign up literally in seconds if you use Apple Pay. All the links I've mentioned are in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you next week.